know that while you're singing or praying, the enemy has no access to you.
Right.
So let's give a huge thank you to the praise team. Right. Even the skeleton crew is awesome. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. That's Psalm 122, verse 1. Runner for Christ Ministries is a church of teaching, learning, and doing, where we hear the word and our faith grows, where we learn the meaning of the word and then do what it says, where we come as we are, but we don't stay as we are, where we find out how our problems are actually challenges to transform us and give us more testimony to encourage each other and to plant seeds in the hearts of the lost. I am happy to introduce our teaching pastor, O. His message today is titled, Do Not Love the World. The text is 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. So turn or click in your Bibles to 1 John chapter number 2, verses 15 through 17. And it reads as follows in the NIV. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Okay, it reads as follows in the NLT. Do not love this world nor the things it offers you, for when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Amen. So let's listen with ears to hear our pastor deliver a message titled, Do Not Love the World. So church, repeat after me. Pastor O,
break it down for us.
Amen. Okay, I got it on. Amen. Like that, Lord. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Pastor.
Amen. I went like, Lord, look at me, guys. Like, we just talked about speaking in tongues on YouTube. Everybody in here doing it without an interpreter. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. We thank you for giving us yet this other opportunity to come into your house and to worship collectively together as brothers and sisters in Christ. We didn't come here to be entertained, but we came to entertain you with our praise and worship, because it was told to us in John 4 and 24 that the Father desires those who worship him to worship him in spirit and in truth. And so that's what we come to do, Lord, to let you know that we love you and we thank you for all that you have done to get us over the hills and the valleys of this week. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears. So they hear your word today. And bless my heart. So it receives your word today. Because I acknowledge to you that my ways and thoughts are not like yours. But I'm here today to be transformed. So I can test and approve what your good, pleasing, and perfect will is for my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, when we talk about don't love the world, We're not talking about God's creation of the world. When you look at John 3:16 and it says, God so loved the world. He is talking about his creation, and in particular, mankind. See, because a tree can't accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But the Lord says over there that he loved the world so much, he loved mankind so much, that if they just do what? Believe. Amen. They won't perish, but have everlasting life, meaning they won't spend eternity apart from God. So we're not talking about the world, the trees, the birds, the bats, and the bees, and all of that. What we're talking about is a satanic system that came into the world in the garden. When Adam and Eve forsook God and decided to go their own way, or Satan's way, okay, then Satan, and they accepted it, Satan's system came in. And so now what is said in Genesis 3:15, that there would be a difference between those who serve God and those who do not, or those who serve the evil one, which is the devil. And from that time to this time, Satan has used the world to draw people off after him. If you'll notice, before God told Adam and Eve not to eat from that tree, Satan didn't say a word, didn't do a thing, didn't make a move at all, okay? The snake was already there that God had made, right? But Satan hadn't said a word. It wasn't until God said, don't eat from that tree, that Satan began to have a conversation with Eve. And ever since that time, Satan has used the world to draw people away from God, to keep those who are in Christ, okay, not experiencing Christ's life in their life, and those who have not accepted Christ, he keeps them busy with his system. Amen?
All right.
So we need to understand that when we see that it says, do not love the world, it's not talking about don't like the buildings, don't like the houses, don't like the cars. It's not talking about that. But what it's saying is, don't let those things be used by Satan to draw you away from God. And that's what Satan is doing big time today. Now the Lord knows, and we learned in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, that when he said, don't hang out with adulterers, don't hang out with homosexuals, don't hang out with transgenders, don't hang out with people who steal, people who lie, people who kill. And then Paul made this distinction. He says, I'm not talking about the world, those folks who have fallen under Satan's system, but he said, I'm talking about those who claim to be Christians,
all right,
but yet act like the world.
Right.
He says, don't hang out with them. He told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that don't get it twisted. Bad company corrupts good character. Amen. And he was talking to who? The Corinthian church. So we have to be careful that Satan does not take the things that God made to be a blessing to us and use them to draw us away from him. Y'all know that I had fallen so much in love with the world that I stopped going to church, had to join the same church, mother knows, 6 times. Amen. I started going drag racing on Sunday rather than going to church. Satan used what God sent as a blessing to me, because I could have raced Wednesday, I did. I could have raced Friday, I did. I could have raced Saturday, I did. But Blood McCluskey, I had to go on Sunday too. Amen. So when I was supposed to be helping my pastor, when I was supposed to be teaching my Sunday school class, I was out at Mylan Dragway getting my race on. Satan used that to draw me away from teaching them kids from 15 to 18 how to live for Jesus. God had given me the gift of gab and the gift of teaching through the Holy Spirit. Amen. But instead of using it to teach them kids, I was out at the drag strip doing what I wanted to do. Now, Satan didn't tell me to go. Amen. He just did like Adam and Eve. But Jerry, he just offered it to me. He didn't tell Adam and Eve, you know, to eat from the tree. He just gave them another reason why they might want to. He couldn't make them do it. You know how we say the devil made me do it? But Malachi, the devil ain't make me go drag racing. I convinced myself to go drag racing. I said, we got 8 preachers sitting up in this pulpit. Why all of us need to be there? Amen. I ain't presiding today. I hear Jesus saying, go to the drag strip. So I went. I actually told my pastor that one Sunday. There was a couple other preachers sitting in there. He said, what happened to you last Sunday, Ed? I said, Jesus told me I could go drag racing. All of them in there just about fainted and fell on the floor. Amen. But we have to be careful, brothers and sisters, because Satan has come into the church, and he is definitely, old folks used to say it like this, you're bringing the world into the church. Now, we thought they were just talking about the new modern kind of music that was being played, but that wasn't, it was the world's way, Satan's way. Amen. And so the church today is Jesus' concern that we are a little bit worldly today. We're so much, some folks say you got to be worldly to attract the world. No, you don't. You have to, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll do what? Draw all men unto me. And Sister Reed taught me, and Juanetta Reed over at First Baptist Church, she was one of my mentors. She taught me a song that says, come to me, come unto me, or come to me. And the part of that song said, by living as a Christian ought to. Amen. By living as a Christian ought to. So we got to be careful, because here's the problem. If you love the world, you cannot love God and the world. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, you cannot love God and money. In Luke chapter 16, he rehearsed it again, you cannot love God and money. You will love the one and hate the other, or hate the one and love the other, but you cannot love both of them at the same time. We have to stop living these compromised Christian lives. Because if we live these compromised Christian lives, we don't experience God. Amen? We don't experience God. Like James says, come near to me and I'll come near to you, right? But we miss this part. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. What is the double-minded? The double-minded believes in God and the world. But James tells us in chapter 1, hey, you cannot do that. You can't love both of them. Either you love the one or you love the other. He says, if any man lacks wisdom, that means God's way of doing things, God's way of acting things out and living this life. If any man lacks how to live for God in this life, how to conduct themselves in this life, let them ask God to show them how. Okay? Amen. But he says, be careful when you come to God that you aren't bringing your little other God with you. And you're going to combine the two. I knew a man who said that he was a Muslim and Christian. Amen. He believes in Allah and Jesus. But see, that's impossible. Jesus don't play that. You know, a lot of us will accept a whole lot, but Jesus won't. And see, Jesus knows if you just believe in him or if you believe in him and them. Amen. He wants to be our one and only God. And he knows if he is our one and only God. When the Lord says, study to show yourself approved unto God, that means go to Bible class. So here's how you know if you're serving him or the world. If you go to Bible class, if you do home study, study here in Sunday school at church, or study on Wednesday night in the Bible class, but if you do none of that, then the Lord says, whatever it is you're doing, that's what you serve. When Bible time class come around, do you love God or do you love the world? If you love God, Jesus said what? If you love me, you'll do what? Follow my commandments. And the Lord has commanded that we study to show ourselves approved to who? The world? But to God. So if we're not studying, how then do we show ourselves approved unto God? So the Lord says we cannot love the world and him at the same time. Amen?
Okay.
I knew this was going to be one of them kind of sermons where you're going to get a whole lot of amens. Because it challenges us. It challenges me to not look at you, but to look at me. To ask myself the question. Am I serving the world or am I serving God? Am I serving God my way? Or am I serving God his way? Am I keeping his commandments or am I keeping my commandments? Amen. Which one is winning? Which one is on top? Jesus told me a long time ago when I was skipping church and going drag racing. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. This is not my commandments. Amen. So it was clear to me, the only way I could demonstrate to him, okay, was to actually stop going drag racing on Sunday and start going to church on Sunday, which really didn't start until he made me a pastor. Amen. I'm going to sit up here and lie to you like when he told me that I quit. I was there the next Sunday. Okay? But when he started, when he convinced me that he wanted me to be a pastor, that is when I had to make a choice. Either I'm going to give this up, and that's not to say something's wrong with drag racing. I was doing it the wrong way. I could have done it Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, and that was enough, and I did. But I also had to do it on Sunday, so I had a choice to make. Amen? I either go to church on Sunday and be a pastor. He even gave me a choice. Did I want church to start at 8 a.m.? Or 10 a.m. And I was immediately going to go to 8 a.m. because we would have had a 1 hour service, and about 9 o'clock, me and Sheila would have been in the truck and with the car on the trailer, headed to the drag strip, get there by 10, go to tech, get my car teched in, come back, get ready for round one of qualifying, amen? Or better than that, my first idea was we was going to have church at the track, okay? So, amen? And then right after we get through with the service at 9 a.m., amen, I'll be ready to go to tech, get teched in. Y'all can go home then, amen? But all of that, I had to make a choice. I knew that, you know, that was kind of just me wanting to do my thing, amen? But the point is, you cannot love God and the world at the same time. Now, Jesus called us out of the muck and mire into the marvelous light, right? And then he says, walk in the light. He says, you are the light of the world. Okay, you can't be light and dark at the same time. And all that does is just make you a confused Christian. But the biggest thing is, God will not, if you're involved in the world, then he's going to let you be involved in the world. And what do I mean? If you still think and act like you did before you got saved, if God is not telling you what to do and how to do it, okay, then you're still in the world. Even though you're in the body of Christ, you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you're not walking in Christ. You're not living in Christ. That means you're not experiencing all that you could experience in him. Amen. You haven't come close to him, and he has not come close to you. And God does not play like that. We like to believe because he is so good. I tell the Lord all the time, you're so good, even when you punish people, they don't recognize it because of your goodness, your kindness. Folks diss God every single day, but he still wake them up. He still give them food to eat, still give them clothes to wear, still give them smoky air to breathe. Amen. Keep us alive even though we outside all day like they ain't saying it's a smoke alert. We out there anyway, but God keeps us and keeps us for years. And we get sick, God bless us. But we think that is God, that we're close to him because he's doing that for us. But knowing God is this, knowing God. Knowing God is when you can hear his voice and you know it's his voice. Knowing God is when you see God act on your behalf. Okay, that's knowing God. Being saved is one thing. Walking in Christ is something altogether different. Being saved is one thing, but being a follower or partisan for Christ, a Christian, amen, that's what that word means. It comes from the Greek, Christianos. It means follower of Christ, partisan for Christ. And that's why the Greek folks called Christians Christians. Jesus never called us Christians. Jesus never called us people of the way. Jesus never called us the sect of the Nazarene. You'll see in Matthew chapter 16, he called us the church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against what? Christians? The people of the way? The sect of the Nazarene? No, my church. Amen? Amen. So that's what Jesus calls us, but those, when you can be a Christian, okay, only if you're a follower of Christ. You can be people of the way if you live the way Jesus did, talk the way Jesus did, act the way Jesus did. We talked about being perfect even as our Father in heaven is perfect. And what that means is when God tells us what to do, we do it. That does not mean we're perfect all the time. I don't know if you guys remember, but we did an example with Carmen and Alana. Okay, I asked Alana to stand up, to come up here, and to sit on the little stool that was over here. She just stood up, came over here, sat on that stool. I said, now go back where you were sitting. She got up and went back where she was sitting. She did everything I told her to do. Then I asked her mother, is she perfect? Amen. And y'all know Carmen. She don't be playing. She was like, no. No, she's not. Amen. So we can do what God says, even though we're not perfect. That means that more and more over time, progressively, we become more like Christ and less like we were when we got saved. Paul addressed that in Corinthians chapter 3 when he was talking to the Corinthian church. He said, y'all still hating on each other. Y'all still lying on each other and lying to each other, as he said in Colossians, stop lying to each other. He says, you're still exhibiting your worldly behavior. And that is proof that you are yet what carnal-minded, babes in Christ. That means they were 5 years old, amen, in the church, but still acting like infants. Still displaying behavior of children. And so he says, what you need to be concerned about, rather than I love Paul, I love Apollos, I love Peter, okay? We're just people that God used to plant seeds and pour water. But it's God who gives the increase. What you need to be concerned about is how are you building on the foundation that Jesus laid?
Yes.
Is that progressive work taking place in you? Do you still lie as much as you used to? Do you still cuss as much as you used to? Do you still not love people like Jesus loved people? Yes, it's hard to love. But the only reason you know it's hard to love is because you've been challenged by Jesus and Jesus let you know you need to love. You're not loving like Christ loves. Amen? We're representatives of Jesus Christ, not the world. People ought to know there's a difference in you. Jesus, when they challenged him, they said, go ask the people who heard me what I said. I taught in the temple every day. Those are my witnesses. They can come and declare about me, right? We love to talk about ourselves, but what do people who have to deal with us on a daily basis have to say? What does the electric company say about you and your good stewardship over God's money? What is the car company that the repo man scowling around your house? Amen. What? Amen. What does that say about you? If I went to your job and asked your boss, what kind of employee are you? What would they tell me? They get to work late every day. And then when they do get here, all they do is tell me what they ain't going to do. I ain't get hired for that. That ain't my classification. Amen. So what are we showing the world? Are we different? Are we the light of the world?
Amen.
Amen. Are we the salt of the earth? Do people see our good works and give glory to God? Because they know it ain't us. Amen. They know it ain't us. They know that's God. People used to tell me all the time, and I used to get upset. They used to say, man, you ain't the same. Every time you come around, you make me feel guilty. And I'm like, what do you mean I ain't the same? I'm sweet cheese. I'm still the same. What's up? No, you ain't the same, man. You ain't the same. Something about you. People were telling me that, and I didn't understand it, amen, because I was a 2-year-old Christian at the time. This is back in 77. Amen. I didn't understand what they were talking about. It got to the place, okay, I'm gonna make a confession. It got to the place where I would try to find me some weed. They wouldn't even sell it to me. Amen. And then when I got a little broke and got a little tight and I was a baby Christian about 2-3 years old, amen, in Christ, I tried to get some cocaine and sell it. They wouldn't even buy it for me. They wouldn't buy my THC pills. They said, man, them Jesus pills. If I take them, I'm going to be like you. I'm like, what am I like? You knew me. Amen. Jesus was, and this is just a 3-year-old crazy Christian. Jesus had made changes in me. And people knew I was different. Amen. They were telling me I was different. I'm still trying to fit my little square peg into a round hole, but it wouldn't work. One guy told me, look, Reverend, he was doing like this, Hendo, he was doing like this. Like he was scared to even come near me. He said, man, the reason nobody would deal with you, because you're a preacher, man. We feel like if we get with you, Jesus gonna get us. We gonna get ganked. So that's what's up, G. That's what's up. We're on the corner of 11th Street down there by Miles Church. I'm over here by Miles Church. He's almost on the other corner telling me this. And I'm telling Jesus, Marshall, I'm telling Jesus, what have you done to me? You're messing up everything. You're changing my whole life. People don't even want to be around me no more. But that's what's supposed to happen. Amen?
Yes.
Less like me, more like Christ. I would still talk the way I did. I still walked the way I walked. I still hung out where I was hanging out, down there on the corner. The only difference was I'm trying to save every soul I can. They call my pills Jesus pills. Amen? Yes, it did, because I didn't know what they were talking about. I was trying to get paid. Because I was a baby Christian, right? I'm still up in the pool room. But they're like, man, you different. Do people tell you you're different? Do people notice that you're not the same? Do they notice you are not the person that you were when you started claiming Jesus? Do they know you walk different a little bit? You talk different a little bit? Remember, it's a progressive work. And remember this, brothers and sisters. Jesus is the one working on you, not anybody around you. Every change that has happened in me has happened because I read God's word, okay? I interpreted God's word. The Holy Spirit illuminated God's word. That means the light came on and I got it. And then Jesus said, you're going to have to start walking in that word. Like my father used to tell me, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. You're piling them up. And then Cheryl, when he would get me, oh, Lord have mercy. He would remind me, didn't I tell you? Didn't you understand what I said? I'm like, yeah, Daddy, I did. I'm not here, nothing but confession. Amen. He said, well, hold the pole there, because you know why you finna get. See, if you hold it, some poles in our basement, like in this basement, or like that black one back there, if you hold the pole and don't let it go, then you're kind of being obedient. But if you let the pole go and cover your leg and say, we got one, I'd be something. Amen. If we got one. If we got one, then we amen. If we got whooped, amen, and you covered your legs, it would last longer. And then, amen. And when we got to, when the belt just wasn't working no more, we was fake. Oh, ah, yeah, yeah, that hurt, yeah, ah. Oh, he went and got he took the iron, the kind of old iron, Deacon Isabella. They pulled the cord out. He pulled that cord out. Oh, the fake, I'll turn into real old. Daddy, what you doing? This is illegal. Then you better not call the police, because he's saying you might as well call the ambulance with him. Amen? What gets us? Three things. Lust of the eyes. We want everything we see. You know how many people are in debt because they saw something they wanted, couldn't practice delayed gratification. I'm gonna look this way. Couldn't practice delayed gratification, and then they got it. And then they say, Lord, pay for it. And Jesus say, oh, that's how we doing this? Oh no, lust of the eyes, a lust for everything we see, we want it. But who acts like that? Kids act like that. Amen? So when you see adults acting like that, that is a sign of what? Spiritual immaturity. Because think about this. How many times have you asked God, can I have what I see? Now the Lord will say yes. The Lord will say wait. And the Lord will say no. Do you wait for the Lord's answer before you get it, or do you get it and then tell Jesus to pay for it? Most of us, that's what we do. Our eyes see it, we want it, we get it. Our eyes see a man, I want that man. Our eyes see a woman, I want that woman. And then we get with them and find out our eyes must be crazy. Our eyes must be insane. Because my eyes didn't see how my wife and I was watching TV yesterday. And there was this cute young girl. She was a little young Mexican girl. Real nice long hair, long black hair. Had the whole thing, the top to bottom was all there. Took four cops to get in the cop car. Then she got in the cop car, started kicking the windows out the cop car. Okay? It took four cops to get in the car. I'm like, how could that be in that? But yeah, but these eyes, they only see what they want to see. But they don't see, like Dr. Tony Evans say, if all you see is what you see, then you haven't seen all there is to be seen. Okay. Amen. How many people have come dancing down this aisle, and I'm standing right here, and they talking about how much they love each other in front of the Lord, in front of Jesus and angels, and everybody assembled. And then 5 minutes later, amen.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Go ahead and praise the Lord, Jonathan. Say, I'm going to praise him anyhow. Pastor Stacy, I'm going to praise him anyhow. Amen. Because, amen, it seems, see, what we do before we get married is one thing. But after Jesus make you one, then you start seeing and hearing everything. And that's when you married, and that's when the relationship starts. That boyfriend, girlfriend stuff ain't nothing.
No.
Amen. And today, oh Lord have mercy, I feel sorry for men and women.
Yeah.
Amen. Because both sides crazy. Amen.
Yeah.
Both sides is crazy.
Yeah.
But these eyes will get you in trouble. Amen. And this flesh, it's retarded too. Amen. Lust of the flesh will drink Drano. The flesh will eat till it's 50 million pounds, okay? The flesh will eat till you got high blood pressure, your PSA numbers is crazy, and, amen, and your cholesterol is through the roof. Oh, I'm talking about me. That happened to me at my last doctor's visit. That's why I'm going through all this stuff I'm going through now, amen? But I had to tell my flesh, no, we ain't eating no more barbecue. No, flesh, the only thing we're going to eat is turkey breast and baked chicken. That is it. That's all you get. No, you, but not once a week though.
Okay. Come on,
Chief. Oh, I ain't perfect. What y'all thought I was perfect? Once a week though, I'm headed to Culver's and I'm getting surprised and I ain't telling them with no salt. Amen. I ain't gonna get no pop though because we got lemonade set at home. Amen. I ain't gonna get no cheese on it because, amen. What is that cheese? I eat Swiss cheese. Amen. It don't do you no harm. Amen. But I got some cheddar in there because I like cheddar in my eggs. Amen. Cheddar makes the eggs taste better. That's right. But I can only eat that stuff like once a week. I can't eat it every day because that will just tear you straight up. Amen. But these eyes and this flesh will get you in trouble. That's what got Adam and Eve. The devil came up and said, did God say y'all couldn't eat from any of the trees in the garden? Now, he didn't know what God said. He just wanted to start a conversation. And he told the devil, well, no, you're being ignorant. What God said was we can't eat from this tree. If we eat from this tree, then we're going to die. The devil like, you're not going to die. Don't be stupid. Stop being silly. You're not going to die, okay? God knows that if you eat from this tree, you're going to become like him. You're going to know and be able to determine for yourself what good and evil is. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I ain't telling you what to do, but that's all I'm saying. So they took another look at the tree. It was pleasing to the eyes. They took another look at the tree. It was pleasing to the flesh. They took another look at the tree. It was a tree to be desired to make one wise. Amen. But the Bible says if any man lack wisdom, where you get it? From the tree? Let him ask God. But the devil said, I ain't trying to tell you what to do, but it's a lot more here than meets the eye. And after they did the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and it's going to make my life better. People will say, you're so wise, you're so smart, you like God. And what did they do? They went for it. And the devil ain't got no new tricks. He will do the same thing to us. He will take these eyes and make you see it. Okay, he'll take this flesh and make you want it. And then he will convince you that this is going to make your life better. How many people have gotten into relationships thinking, look good, it's going to be good, and it's going to make my life better, only to find out I'll get 10 lawyers to get rid of you. I'll go in debt to get rid of you. How many people have saw a car, wanted the car, got the car, then couldn't pay for the car? Or got the car and the car just kept on breaking down. It was sick and couldn't get away. Oh, these eyes and this flesh is crazy. Flesh is drink Drano. I had a friend across the street from me, Paul, baby. He drank some Drano. Amen. Yeah, see, the flesh didn't tell it. That's going to burn your throat out and you're going to end up in the hospital. His eyes saw it. His flesh said, I don't know. And then he thought, somehow this is going to make me better, and did. But think of all the things that we've done because we saw it, we wanted it, and we thought somehow this is going to improve my life. And it just became a nightmare. That's what the devil does. To get what the devil wants, you have to leave God. That's why I listen to what Tamla Mann said in one of her songs, I only want for me what God wants for me. And I know why she said that. Because she learned, amen, that everything ain't good for you. Amen. And so the flesh will have you to get stuff that's not good for you. These eyes will have you to see stuff and want it. It's not good for you. And it will convince you that somehow your life gonna get better. No matter how crazy it is. No matter what God has said. God told Adam and Eve what? The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, does God lie? Well, then what changed their minds? Amen? What changed their minds? That shows you that we have freedom of choice. That God is not making us do anything. We have to love God because we want to. We have to do what God tells us to because we want to. And we have to be careful what the world shows us, what the world tells us. Amen? And here's the close to the whole matter. The world and everything in it is passing away. Amen. How many people, I knew a man, and McCluskey, you know who I'm talking about. Amen. His name was Johnny. Amen. His father worked at Ford for 52 years. Now, Johnny had got a little heroin addiction going, not a little one, big one. Okay, his father worked out there at Ford Motor Company for 52 years. He died in the plant. Amen. His heroin addicted son inherited everything he had. How long do you think he took to lose it? I knew a woman, lived on 18th Street in the city of Ecorse. A good woman. Powerful woman of God, had one son. She died. The son inherited everything. It wasn't a year before it was all gone. Why? Because he had a crack addiction. Amen. And lost everything. Jesus told us a story in Luke chapter 12. Go there and get a chance. It's called The Rich Fool. the parable of the rich fool. This man had been blessed. God blessed him. And his crops came in a great abundance. And he had so many crops and he had such a harvest that his old barns wouldn't be able to store it all. So he said, this is what I will do. Now listen to how many personal pronouns he put in there. This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and I will build 3 bigger barns, and there I will store all my crops, my harvest. And I will say to myself, you have many things stored up, a great harvest. He says, get ready to eat, drink, and be merry. And then the angel of the Lord who goes around and collects up folks who have died, he said, I hate to give you the news, but tonight, now listen to the words he used, your soul shall be required of you. In other words, you ain't going past, after the end of this conversation, you out. But the question was asked, then who will get all these things you've laid up for yourself? Who's going to inherit everything you have right now? If you passed away, if the Lord called you home right now, who would get everything that you have? Jesus says, this is how it will be for everyone who is rich in this world's goods, but poor toward God. Amen. Lay up for yourselves treasures where? Amen. Not on earth. Why? Because thieves will get it, moths will get it, or it'll rot away. Amen. But if you lay up treasures in heaven, thieves don't exist there. Moths don't eat up stuff there. And things don't rust and corrode there. The Lord says in James chapter 5 to those who are rich and were hoarding it all to themselves, look, your silver and your gold is witnessing against you. Because it was what? Corroded. Now we know gold don't corrode. We know silver don't corrode. But what was Jesus saying? Is that you're hoarding up so much for yourself that it's rotting away even while you got it. Amen. And closing, he said in Luke chapter 16, use worldly wealth, so he is not against us having stuff. Use worldly wealth so that you gain what? Friends for yourselves. That means you didn't just have it for yourself. You did what Ephesians 4:28 says. If you've been stealing, okay, get an honest job, okay, and make money for yourself, and so you have something left over to help other people. He says, and you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. So don't fall in love with the world, but use the things in the world to glorify God. Amen? Use your car to glorify God. How do you do that? Give people who need a ride a ride. And don't charge them for gas. Amen? Let God give you gas.
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, I give thanks today and praise your holy name. Thank you, Father, for not telling us that the world is evil and we shouldn't have nothing and we should just go live in a little borrowed tent somewhere until Jesus comes. But that we should be like Jesus. He asked what the little boy had, 2 fish, 5 loaves. He took it and asked you to bless it. You bless it, fed up to 20,000 people with it. Not just the 5,000 men who were there, but also the women and children that were there, and estimated up to be about 20,000 people. You told us over in John chapter 6 that those folks who had ate the fish sandwiches and ate as much as they wanted to, they crossed the Sea of Tiberias just to find you. And you told them, Jesus, when they did find you, you didn't go through all that to find me because you even understood my miracle. But you did that so you might get some mold-free food. And Lord, we thank you that you told us, then don't labor for things that perish, but labor for the things that are eternal. And only like what the old folks told us, Father, is true. Only what you do for Christ with what you have will last. So help us, Lord, to understand what it means to not lay up treasures on earth, but to use the treasures that you give us on earth so that we can lay up treasures in heaven. Help us, Father, to when we leave this world, we'll be like those old Romans when they would come back off of some kind of campaign that improved the Roman Empire in some kind of way. They would come home to a triumph. That means the people were waiting at the gates, Lord, to welcome them back, to throw wreaths in the street saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, because they had went out and improved these people's lives in a way they had saved them. Help us, Lord, to when we reach heaven, that people don't just say, hey, you here? But people actually recognize us and we'd be welcomed just like those Romans were into eternal dwellings. All the people that we've helped throughout life that passed away before us. All the people that we've helped throughout life that are waiting to come to heaven and recognize us for what we did for them. Help us to be like Dorcas over in Acts chapter 9. She was a rich Greek lady. And when she did good and did good deeds for people, about that time you told us she died. But they held her funeral in her house in a large upper room. And when Peter got there, the people all ran to her, him, showing her, him, what she had did for them. That's how we want to come home, Father. We want to be like in the story you told in Matthew chapter 25, when the master gave the folks his money to occupy, to do business for him. And he went away on a long journey, just like you are right now. And then he came back. And the men who had the five came running to him. The men who had the two came running to him. And they said, look, master, we're glad to see you back. You gave me five, it's now 10. You gave me two, it's now 4. We don't want to be like that one Jesus who you gave the one talent and who had the ability to use it to increase it. But he didn't. He went and hid it in the ground and kind of hoped you'd die and not come back. So he was the only one who knew where it was hid in the ground. And he came up to you saying, you harvest where you haven't planted, you reap where you haven't sowed. He really wasn't feeling you. But you said, take that from him and give it to those who have increased and cast him out into outer darkness, whether it's in weeping and gnashing of teeth. We want to be the one with the five. We want to be the one with the two. We want to be glad to see you, Jesus, when we hit heaven. We don't want to get there and we ain't led nobody to Christ. We ain't taught nobody in Christ. And we haven't helped nobody in or outside the body of Christ, as you commanded us to in Galatians 6:10. You said, as often as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all, and especially those of the household of faith, the believers in you. Lord, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you, Brett.